exercise. Vision is critical because there will be days when you just won't feel like taking action on your plan. To help you stay on track, you will need a powerful reason why, and that's your vision. Sal Durso, a longtime friend and client, has a personal take on the power of vision. We've applied the principles of the 12-week year in our firm for years. It has become second nature to us. It's the way that we get stuff done, and it's the way that we stay on track even when things get in the way. Not long ago, our firm lost a big part of our revenue when a group of our key advisors left and took with them their clients and their revenue. As you would expect, this was an extremely trying time for the firm, and it impacted me both personally and professionally. The people leaving were not just business associates, they were longtime friends as well, and their loss was felt deeply by all of us who remained. I could have put my victim glasses on and placed all of the blame for this loss squarely on those who had left. Okay, looking back, there may have been at least a couple of days that I had a why-me attitude, but in the end, my desire and vision to build a business that would survive long past my stewardship took over. It was during this time that I took a much-needed summer trip to the incredible state of Alaska. While there, I intentionally shifted my thinking and reflected on the things that have made my life so incredibly wonderful. A relationship with a God who loves me, a wife and family who any man would be proud of, and a business that is approaching a milestone that few will ever see, 50 years in profitable operation. As a part of the trip to Alaska, we took a fantastic rafting journey down the Kennecott River. As we navigated our way around yet another scenic bend in the river, an incredible sea of purple flowers appeared. The flowers spread across the mountainside as far as the eye could see. Our guide said that this was called fireweed, and just a few years ago, this vista had been a charred remnant of a forest fire. When this purple blanket appears, it is the first sign that the forest is regenerating. It filled me with awe and a sense of hope and expectation for the new forest that was to come. Apparently, even nature has a way to create a vision for what is to follow. It occurred to me then that rather than contemplate the charred remains of our loss, we needed to focus on the new signs of rebirth in our business. As leader of the organization, it was clear to me that our firm needed the same vision that I just had, and it was my role to set it. Arriving back in my office excited and refreshed, much of the next few weeks was spent talking with each of our team members, asking them what they felt made our organization unique and what they thought about the future. These discussions and hours of contemplation helped me craft a vision that 1 year later is our fireweed field, the guiding light for our company. A year after our forest fire, the fireweed has emerged, and the young saplings that will make us stronger than ever before are germinating. Our leadership team, advisors, and staff all say that our firm is a better place because of what happened a short year ago. As leader, I know the vision that we are all committed to is the change agent that will shape our organization for years to come. True success will happen when people bound by a common vision work together for a common outcome. More firestorms may come, but our vision and faith will carry us through. Sal saw the power of vision to create movement and progress and took action. Many people miss out on the potential of vision to create the emotional energy needed to inspire positive action, even in an environment of charred earth. Do you have charred earth like Sal had? Or are you doing fine but aspire to greater heights? In both scenarios, a compelling vision is a powerful force to move you forward. The most powerful visions address and align your personal aspirations with your professional dreams. In the end, your professional vision often funds and enables your personal vision. For your vision to help you push through the discomfort of change, you must be clear on what it is you want to create in life. Most people focus primarily on their business or career, but your business is just part of your life, and it is actually your life vision that gives traction and relevance to your business. The best visions are big ones. In our experience, nothing great is ever accomplished without first being preceded by a big vision. All of the great accomplishments of mankind, from medicine to technology to space travel to the World Wide Web, were first envisioned and then created. All of your big personal accomplishments must also be preceded by big visions. So, we challenge you to dream big and imagine true greatness for yourself. Your vision should be big enough that it makes you feel at least a little bit uncomfortable. Impossible, possible, probable, given. Unfortunately, when we imagine a future that is significantly bigger than our current reality, we can begin to think that it is impossible for us. We can see others who have achieved great things, but we start to think that there is no way that we can get there. When you start to envision a significant accomplishment that is well beyond what you've achieved in the past, the question most people immediately ask is, "How would I do this?" That is the wrong question so early in the process. The fact is, you don't know how to do it because if you did, you would likely be doing it already and living that reality. The fact that you don't know how to do it creates the perception that it is impossible, at least for you, and it makes you think of new goals on a sliding scale of impossibility to certainty. Your ability to do something is malleable in this mindset. The problem is that if you think something is impossible, you will never attain it. Henry Ford said, "If you think you can or think you can't, you're right." The first step, then, to reaching your biggest dreams is to shift from impossible thinking to possible thinking. You do this not by asking how, but by asking what if. What would be different for you, your family, your friends, your team, your clients, and your community? By asking what if, you give yourself permission to entertain the possibility and begin to connect with the benefits. As you do this, the desire intensifies, and the door on your future cracks open just a fraction, but enough so you automatically begin to shift from impossible to possible thinking. Once you see your vision as possible, then you begin to shift from possible to the next level, probable. You make this shift by asking the question that we avoided earlier. How might I? How is not a bad question. In fact, it is a perfectly good question, but the timing is critical. Ask it too early and it shuts down the whole process. But once you see your vision as possible, the question of how is an essential one. If the question of what if is the visioning question, then the question of how is the planning question. The final shift needed in your thinking to create an effective vision is to move from probable to given. This shift happens naturally as you begin to implement the planned actions. Given is a powerful state of mind where any question of doubt is gone, and mentally you are already standing in the end results. As you see the results start to materialize, your thinking shifts almost automatically to given. Crafting your vision. The best visions balance your personal and professional lives. Typically, your passion comes from your personal vision, and passion is the energy source that helps you push through the pain of change and the valley of despair. If you're going to create breakthrough and reach your next level, you will need to move through the fear, uncertainty, and discomfort of the valley of despair. It is your personal vision that keeps you in the game when things become difficult. Your vision provides you with a line of sight, an emotional link to help you overcome the challenges and execute. When the task seems too difficult or unpleasant, you can reconnect with your vision. It is this emotional connection that will provide you with the inner strength to forge ahead in spite of any difficulties, enabling you to achieve your dreams and desires. There are three time horizons that you'll want to focus your vision on. 1. Long-term aspirations. 2. midterm goals about 3 years into the future. 3. 12 weeks, covered in the next chapter. Aspirational vision. So, let's start with the long-term aspirational vision. In formulating your vision, you must let your mind expand to imagine and even embrace the possibilities that often get pushed aside in our daily lives as being not immediate enough to command our attention, impractical, or too audacious to even consider, let alone pursue. Take a few minutes right now and think about all of the things that you want to have, do, and be in your life. What is the most important to you physically, spiritually, mentally, relationally, financially, professionally, and personally? How much time freedom do you want? What income do you desire? Write everything you can think of on a sheet of paper, leave nothing off the page. Now, take the items from your page that you connect with emotionally and construct a vision of your life 5, 10, 15 years into the future. Be bold. Be courageous. Create a life vision that inspires you and fulfills your purpose. There are no right or wrong answers. This is the life you deeply desire. 3-year vision. Now that we've got you thinking about the possibilities in your life, let's get specific. Based on your long-term vision, what do you want to create over the next 3 years? Describe in as much detail as possible what a great personal and professional life would look like 3 years from today. The more specific you are at this stage, the easier it will be to create your 12-week goals and your plan. Thinking shift. By its nature, vision is a thinking exercise. But how you view the concept of vision will impact the degree to which you leverage and benefit from it. The predominant limiting belief regarding vision is that it is soft and fluffy, insignificant in the success equation and the attainment of results. As you now know, that is not the case. Vision, when engaged properly, is the ignition switch and power source of high performance. It is the all-important why behind the things you do. When viewed in this light, vision has the power to enable one to confront and conquer fears, take bold, consistent action, and live a life of significance. The shift in thinking from seeing vision as fluff to seeing it as the mother of all antecedents is a fundamental shift in thinking that will pay huge dividends. When you understand the true power of vision, you will want to spend more time connecting with your own vision to begin to free yourself from the self-imposed limitations that have held you back. Vision is the starting point of all high performance. Team application. While vision is generally an intensely personal exercise, a manager can often take specific actions that will help their direct reports to more effectively leverage their visions. Vision is the best starting point for all effective performance-based coaching relationships because vision creates ownership. If your direct reports take ownership of their visions, it will be much easier to help them to own their goals and plan tactics as well. This is a critical step because without it, the goals and plans they develop will be yours, not theirs. Review the visions of your team in individual one-on-one sessions. Ask permission to review their professional visions with them. Dig into why the business vision they have is important to them. Explore what achieving their business goals enables in their personal lives. Inquire about the level of ownership and emotional connection they have for their vision. Questions that uncover the degree of ownership. Why are the elements of your vision important to you? What will you be able to do if you reach your vision that you cannot do now? What will be different for you, your family, your friends, your peers, your clients, your community, if you reach that goal? Are you willing to commit to the actions needed to reach your vision? Who have you shared your vision with? How often have you looked at your vision since you wrote it? What actions do you have to take to make progress on your vision and reach your 12-week goal? What risks or barriers exist that may get in the way of you reaching your vision and goals? How can I best support and help you achieve your goals and vision? Once they have clear ownership of their visions, the next step is to help them build an action plan to achieve them. The how-to section on 12-week planning in Chapter 14 will help you assist with that step. When you conduct individual coaching sessions with your direct reports, and we encourage you to do these at least monthly, start the conversations with their vision. Are they making progress? Discuss their willingness to take the day-to-day actions necessary to reach it. If they are unwilling to take the difficult actions, confront them with the reality that they won't attain their long-term vision. The breakdown is a question of ownership. When an individual is reluctant to take the necessary actions required to accomplish a goal, it is an indication that they own their current comfort more than they own the future described in their vision. In these cases, people have a couple of choices. They can either lower their expectations in life or find the courage and discipline to execute the plan tactics consistently. The good news is that many times when confronted with this choice, your team members will reconnect and choose their aspirational vision over mediocrity. Team visions. As a leader, it's important that you establish a team vision for your company, division, or group. We are not talking about a vision statement that is worded just so and framed and hung on the wall. The team vision is similar to the individual vision in that it describes the destination at a fixed point in the future. As a group, you will want to put some stakes in the ground with regard to what matters most. This is best accomplished by having each team member first work through their individual visions, then come together as a group to create a common team vision. When creating the team vision, you will want to apply many of the same dynamics used in creating your personal visions. Start with the long term by having everyone brainstorm what a great company or office would look like in the future. Get them to be as specific as possible and assign numeric values where applicable. Give everyone a chance to share their thoughts with the group, then narrow the horizon, look 3 years out, and work together to determine the specific elements that will stay part of the vision and those that won't. Common pitfalls and success tips. Pitfall 1. You don't take the power of vision seriously. Some people, especially type A people, think that vision is fluff. Those who think about vision this way tend to leap past the question of purpose and dive into action. The problem is that when the going gets difficult, it is harder to stay committed to the work in the long run because there is no compelling reason, no persuasive why. The behaviors associated with this pitfall are not keeping your vision in front of you, not aligning your plans with it, and not remembering what is in it. Pitfall 2. The vision isn't meaningful to you. Sometimes we are superficial in crafting our vision. We capture what we think we want, what we think we are supposed to want, rather than capturing what is meaningful to us. Visioning takes time. Keep working on it until you have something that connects emotionally. Pitfall 3. Your vision is too small. A small vision doesn't call on our best efforts. We don't have to reach and we don't have to sacrifice our comfort. A small vision might be achievable, but we leave our best undelivered. To be most effective, your vision should make you feel uncomfortable and challenge you to do things differently and do different things. Pitfall 4. You don't connect your vision to your daily actions. Each day is an opportunity either to make progress on your vision or tread water. If you want to work from a plan that is aligned with your vision, you can be sure that you are acting on the most important things every day. You've crafted your vision and checked to avoid making these common mistakes. Now, here are three important action steps to take to make your vision even more powerful for you. Success tip 1. Share it with others. Sharing your vision increases your commitment to it. When you tell someone else what you want in life, you feel more responsibility to act. Success tip 2. Stay in touch with your vision. Print it out and keep it with you. Review it each morning and update it every time that you discover ways to make it more vivid and meaningful to you. Success tip 3. Live with intention. At the end of each day, take a few minutes to reflect on the progress that you made today. Did it move you forward, or was it filled with activity that wasn't related to your vision? Resolve to be intentional in your actions to make progress on your vision. What action will you take tomorrow? Chapter 14. Develop your 12-week plan. This chapter will guide you through the development of your first 12-week plan. Before you create a 12-week plan, you must define and commit to your vision. If you have not already done so, be sure to work through Chapter 13, Establish Your Vision, to prepare you to set an effective 12-week goal and to create a solid plan to reach it. Planning is beneficial. Unless your job is mostly reactionary in nature, it's hard to argue against the value of planning. Planning enables you to allocate your time and resources to your highest value opportunities. It increases your odds of successfully hitting your goals, it helps you to coordinate your team, and it creates a competitive advantage. In spite of the proven benefits of working from a plan, not everyone does so. One reason for this is that many people have a bias for taking action. While an action bias can be a good thing, it can also get in the way of effective execution. We can get impatient and want to get on with things too quickly. An effective plan takes time to create, and it requires some hard work. It may seem counterintuitive, but by taking the time to plan up front, the overall time and effort to complete a task can be significantly reduced. Another reason that many people don't work from a plan is that they have a belief that goes something like, "I already know what I need to do, so I don't need a plan to get it done." On the surface, this may seem reasonable, but unfortunately, there is almost always a gap between what people know and what they do. For example, many people want to get into better physical shape. And virtually all of them know that it takes a healthy diet and exercise, but sadly, most people don't ever become more fit. That's because simply knowing what to do just isn't enough. The world is noisy, the unexpected happens, distractions arise, our innate desire for comfort tugs at us, and we lose focus on the things we know we should do. That's why, to increase your odds of success, one of the most powerful things you can do is to create and work from a written plan. 12-week planning isn't just valuable for business. A well-written plan can positively impact almost any area of your life. J.K. McAndrews tells this short story about his son and the 12-week year. My son Kevin is a senior at LSU. And a couple of years ago, he was really struggling with balancing his time between school, fraternity, and his job with the football team. Over Christmas week that year, I taught him the basic principles of the 12-week year. And beginning with the next semester, he developed clearly defined goals with strategies and tactics to support them. Since then, he sends me a weekly plan every Sunday night, and even added his own wrinkle by finding an inspirational quote that will motivate him for that particular week. His grades have improved, and more importantly, he has had a better focus on his goals, is more organized, and has definitely come to understand the term greatness in the moment. Game changer. Operating in the 12-week year execution cycle creates an increased premium on the value of time. In 12 weeks, each day counts towards reaching your goals. The value of each moment is brought into sharp focus when there are only 12 weeks in your entire year. One of the benefits that comes from applying the 12-week year is learning to act in the moment, because that's where the future that you will experience is being created. Living your life in the moment, however, can be done in two very different ways, either reactively or proactively. If you are reactive in the moment, you risk taking suboptimal actions, because the primary drivers of your actions are input triggers. The phone rings, the email dings, a new task appears, someone knocks on your door, and off you go. It is difficult in the moment to know what your highest value activities are because you are typically not choosing between good activity and bad activity. You are choosing between higher value and lower value activity, and that ranking often isn't clear in the moment. That's why 12-week planning is so beneficial. With an action-based plan, you don't have to rely on input triggers to initiate your actions. Instead, your plan triggers your actions. Your action choices are made proactively at the beginning of the 12 weeks when you create your plan. In short, a 12-week plan helps you get more of the right things done each day, and ultimately it helps you reach your goals faster and with greater impact. Another benefit of 12-week planning is a fiercely consistent focus on the few vital actions that drive your results. You can't effectively pursue a large number of different things in a 12-week year because there simply isn't enough time to get everything done. In 12 weeks, you only focus on the minimum number of actions that are most important to hit your goal. You also benefit from 12-week planning because of the short time horizon. Uncertainty is reduced due to the shortened time frame, and as a result, you can plan effectively at the action level. Annual plans are typically not action-based because it is nearly impossible to predict the action needed 4 or more months out. This is a profound benefit of the 12-week year. Due to increased uncertainty, most annual plans are objective-based and cannot be executed as written. Typical annual plans tell you what has to be achieved, but they don't specify how. When the how is not clearly defined, you lose a sense of scope and can easily take on more than you can physically execute. The daily and weekly hows of a 12-week plan are what makes it execution-friendly. When you get down to action-level granularity on your plan, you are setting yourself up for success. Here's how our friend Patrick Morin describes his experience with 12-week planning. My passion for the 12-week year began with the challenge to drop 38 pounds that just wouldn't go away. The period goal, strategy, and tactics fit perfectly into solving my nagging weight problem and also gave me exactly the right tools to prepare for a triathlon. After reaching my goal and buzzing with my new fitness, I looked around for other ways to apply the 12-week year. At that time, we were raising money for a new startup company in the healthcare industry. We had started in earnest in January, writing all the required documents and preparing the product. The process was taking longer than we had anticipated, and we continued to have to fund the company internally. It was straining both resources and patience. It seemed to me that this would be the perfect place to implement the 12-week year. On a Monday in early July, I gathered the senior staff to plan it out. The critical objective was pretty clear. In order for the idea and the company to survive, we would have to finish the private placement memorandum and raise the money in the next 12 weeks. The economic climate at the time could best be described as dismal. Investors in general were hard to come by, and this would require a Herculean effort. The vision for the company was clear. The next step was to create a 12-week plan to acquire funding. We had to forget the previous 6 months' slog and focus only on the 12 weeks ahead. Using the battle cry, "Every day is a week," we finished a 100-page PPM in the first week. We got it to our legal team for review, and a week later we were green-lighted. That's when the real energy kicked in. Reaching out to a network of hundreds of people that were personally known to each of us, we found a critical mass of people willing to step in, and we closed the first round on October 10th. The energy created around this effort continued through our development efforts, and each of our projects took on its own 12-week year. The company's cadence was remarked upon by investors, employees, and officers alike. A good plan fosters solid execution. Imagine driving cross-country with directions that have turns out of order, combine several instructions into one, and leave out big chunks of the trip. You'd probably want to smack the person who created those directions and would either stop to get better directions or give up and go home in frustration. That may sound silly, but I bet that you would be surprised by how many people create business plans just like those bad directions. We see plans all the time that are missing steps, lump complicated, time-consuming processes into a single tactic, and have actions out of sequence. Worse yet, rather than specifying the actions needed to reach the goal, many times the plan is just a collection of thoughts and ideas. It would be like driving from Miami to Chicago using directions that said something like, "Get in your car and drive in the general direction of Chicago." Plans like this are way too common, and they keep you from executing. Writing an effective 12-week plan is key to accomplishing great things in only 12 weeks. The plan defines the actions that you will need to take each week of the 12 to reach your goal. Long-term capacity versus short-term results. Plans can both build capacity for the future and drive short-term results. Every plan should have a goal to drive business results in the current 12 weeks. If the plan is for your business, this means that it should always target income to be realized in the current 12 weeks. Some plans may also target building future capacity. Capacity objectives include such things as pursuing education, hiring staff, updating technology, implementing new systems, and so on. Effort and resources expended to build capacity happen immediately, while the benefits are realized sometime in the future. That's why it's important to always have activity in your plan that creates required short-term results. Effective plan structure. The structure of the plan that you write matters if you want to set yourself up to be successful. A good plan starts with a good goal. If your goal is not specific or measurable, the plan that you write will also be vague. The more specific and measurable your 12-week goals, the easier it will be to write a solid 12-week plan. Many 12-week efforts are comprised of two or three goals. For example, you might have a 12-week goal to lose 10 pounds and another goal to generate $105,000 in new business. Each of these goals then becomes a planning target for which you need to write tactics. Tactics for the weight goal are specific actions you must take to achieve your desired weight. If you are working to lose weight, your tactics might include limit calorie intake to 1,200 per day and do 20 minutes of cardio 3 times per week. Note that these tactics start with a verb and are complete sentences. The way that you write your goals and tactics matters. Your income goal of $105,000 would have a separate set of tactics. There are 5 criteria that will help you create better 12-week plans when you are writing goals and tactics. Criteria 1. Make them specific and measurable. For each goal and tactic, be sure to quantify and qualify what success looks like. How many calls will you make? How many pounds will you lose? How far will you run? How much income will you earn? The more specific you can be, the better. Criteria 2. State them positively. Focus on what you want to happen that is positive. For example, rather than focusing on a 2% error rate, you would target a 98% accuracy rate. Criteria 3. Ensure that they are a realistic stretch. If you can accomplish the goal without doing anything differently, then you probably need to stretch more. If it is absolutely impossible, then factor it back a little. If you have never asked for a business referral in your life, a tactic like ask for referrals in every client interaction might be a bridge too far. A more realistic tactic that will still be a stretch might be ask for a referral in at least one client meeting each week. Criteria 4. Assign accountability. This applies to people who are executing as part of a team. If you're on your own, the accountability is all yours. Individual accountability for each goal and tactic is critical. Everyone's challenge is no one's challenge. Criteria 5. Be time-bound. There is nothing like a deadline to get things started and keep them moving. Make sure to include a date by which the goal is to be reached or the tactic is to be executed. In addition to the previous criteria, each tactic should start with a verb, be a complete sentence, and be executable as written in the week that it's due. Establish your 12-week goals. Deciding where you are going is the first step to getting there. Effective planning absolutely begins with a well-written, specific, and measurable 12-week goal. A goal that you own, that, if you hit it, creates meaningful benefits for you. A goal that makes a difference. The 12-week goal is the bridge between your vision and your 12-week plan. Your 12-week goal should be a realistic stretch for you. If it isn't realistic, you will become discouraged. If it isn't a stretch, you don't need the 12-week year because your current way of operating will achieve your goal. It's now time to set your 12-week goal that aligns with your long-term vision and also represents greatness for you in and of itself in the next 12 weeks. Get started by going back to Chapter 13 to review your long-term and 3-year visions. Decide on the progress that you are willing to commit to achieving in the next 12 weeks. Once you've decided on your 12-week goal, record it. The best 12-week goals are realistic, but enough of a stretch that they will call on you to deliver your very best. Why is your 12-week goal important to you? If you hit it, what will be different? Writing your 12-week plan. Now it's time to write your first 12-week plan. The plan is the roadmap needed to reach your 12-week goals. The best plans are focused on one or two things that you want to make progress on in the next 12 weeks. The fewer goals and weekly actions there are, the easier the plan will be to execute. As George Patton once said, "A good plan today is better than a perfect plan tomorrow." Don't overanalyze the content of your plan. Don't be concerned that your plan isn't perfect. There are no perfect plans. Once you have a good plan, your execution of the tactics will help you to learn what works best so you can refine your plan from there. Keep in mind that at its most basic level, planning is just problem solving. Your plan solves the problem of how to close the gap between your results today and your 12-week goal. To get started, write your first 12-week goal as goal 1. Write each additional goal separately. You may find that you have just one goal. That's fine. Next, for each of your goals, define the highest priority daily and weekly actions that you must take to reach that goal. In order to do this, it might be helpful to brainstorm on a separate sheet of paper all the things you could do, and then select the ones that will have the greatest impact. Some actions may be repeating. Example given, work out each day. While other actions will happen only once in the 12 weeks. Example given, join a health club. For those actions you decide to implement, write them as full sentences that start with a verb and describe the action you intend to take. Finally, specify in the week due column, the week 1 through 12, in which you intend to execute each action. Before you put your plan down, ask yourself these questions. What actions will you struggle with? What will you do to overcome those struggles? thinking shift. Without a well-written plan, you are setting yourself up for poor execution. The way you think about planning itself is going to affect the quality of your plan and your success with the 12-week year overall. Let's take a look at some common mental breakdowns that might get in your way. Most people know that they are supposed to work from a plan, but if their experience has been that their plan rarely gets executed, they won't take the time to create a well-written one. If that has been your experience with planning, remember that the 12-week plan is quite different. A 12-week plan gets down to the critical actions that you will need to take each week to reach your goal. Actions make all the difference in a plan. You can't act on the objectives or goals that make up a typical 12-month plan, but you can execute the actions that make up a 12-week plan. Another thinking barrier to effective planning is that you don't have enough time to plan. This thinking is common, but it is flawed. Years ago, I was involved in an informal study that showed the time benefit of planning. If you take time to plan before engaging with a complex task, you reduce the overall time required to complete the task by as much as 20%. Team application. As a team leader, having your team engaged with the 12-week year can be transformational. Imagine if everyone on your team fully owned their aspirational visions and their 12-week goals. What would be different for you if your team was consistently executing on their highest value activities week in and week out? There are a few things that you can do as a manager to help your team get on the 12-week year quickly and with greatest impact. The first step is to ask them to listen to the 12-week year and have them work through the vision and planning templates. After they have created their vision and plan, schedule an individual sit-down with each person on your team to review their 12-week goals and plans. The purpose of this meeting is to refine their plan and to establish your role in helping them reach their 12-week goal. As you conduct these meetings with your team, start the conversation by focusing on their 12-week goals. Do they own the goal, or are they just interested in it? Is the goal realistic or still a stretch for them? Do they believe that they can reach their goal? Make appropriate suggestions for changing their goal if necessary, but make sure that the goal remains theirs, not yours, if you want them to own it. Once you have finished with the 12-week goal, shift to their tactical plan. As you provide coaching advice, seek to keep their plans focused on just the fewest number of goals and fewest number of tactics that are needed to reach each goal. Refer to the criteria earlier in the chapter for well-written goals and tactics for ideas on how to help them improve their plans. Team planning. As a manager or as a member of a team, sometimes it is necessary to create joint goals and plans. Often, effective team planning can more effectively leverage talent and resources than individual plans can. The process of team planning is similar to the individual process, except that the team sets a goal and builds a plan jointly. Ask for participant input toward the overall goal for the 12 weeks. Finalize the goal with the team and ensure that they own the goal jointly and individually. Next, brainstorm the tactics needed to reach each goal. Then, select the smallest possible number of the brainstormed tactics that, when executed, will attain the goal. It is important that each tactic be assigned to one individual, even if several people will work on it. Individual accountability for tactics is critical to drive the team execution process. However, if one of the team tactics will be completed individually by multiple team members, you will be better served by assigning a subset of the team goal to each team member. For example, if the team tactic is to conduct 20 prospecting meetings per week, and there are 4 team members, each might be individually assigned 5 prospecting meetings as their individual tactic. There are 2 last bits of advice when planning for teams. First, don't overestimate the capacity of your team. The best team plans are succinct and contain the minimal amount of activity to reach the team goal, no more. Second, don't front-load the plan. Instead, if possible, balance the actions over the entire 12 weeks. Common pitfalls and success tips. Don't let these 5 common pitfalls derail your achievement. Pitfall 1. Your 12-week plan does not align with your long-term vision. It's important that your 12-week goals and your plan are aligned with and an extension of your longer-term vision. When you set your goals, be certain that they are connected to your vision and determine where you need to be at the end of 12 weeks to be on pace with your long-term goals. Pitfall 2. You aren't staying focused. Focus is critical. If you establish too many goals, you end up with too many priorities and too many tactics to effectively execute. Everything cannot be a priority. You will need to say no to some things in order to be great at the things that matter most. It takes courage to limit your focus to a few key areas. Remember, each 12 weeks is a new year. Imagine if every 12 weeks you identified 1 or 2 key areas and went after those with passion and focus. Then, at the end of that 12-week period, you identified 1 or 2 new areas to focus on. The 12-week year is designed to help you focus on a few key areas and make significant progress in a short period of time. Pitfall 3. You don't make the tough choices. For each goal, it's not uncommon to identify 8, 10, or more tactics, actions, that you could take to move the ball down the field. In most cases, implementing every tactic you can think of is not necessary, and, in fact, can be a hindrance. Although it's helpful to brainstorm all the tactics you can think of, that doesn't mean you have to implement all of them. Trying to execute too many tactics can spread you too thin and leave you feeling overwhelmed. Despite this, it's important to remember that there is no right number of tactics. As with your goals, the general rule is less is more. If you can accomplish the goal with 4 tactics, then you don't need 5. Brainstorm all the tactics you can, and then select the critical few. Pitfall number 4. You don't keep it simple. The task of planning can become very complex. In some companies, entire departments exist for the sole purpose of drafting strategic plans. For the purposes of the 12-week year, keep it simple. If you feel like it's getting too complicated, it probably is. Focus on a few key areas and the actions you can take to hit your goals. Pitfall 5. You don't make it meaningful. You must build your plan around the most important items, or there will be too little traction for you in the implementation phase. Too often, people build their plan around the goals that someone else thinks are important. Although executing your plan is not complex, it is not necessarily easy either. If your plan is not meaningful to you, then you will struggle to execute it. Be certain that you focus on the areas that matter most. Chapter 15. Installing Process Control. The 12-week year starts with a vision, and from that vision, you establish a set of 12-week goals. Based on those goals, you develop a 12-week plan. Then comes process control. Mike Tyson said that everyone has a plan until they get hit in the mouth. Process control is a set of tools and events that help you work your plan, even when you get hit in the mouth. Making sure things get done. It's not enough to have a vision and a plan. If your goals and plan are designed to help you achieve a higher level of performance, then you most likely have specific tactics that are new actions for you. New actions are almost always uncomfortable. That's one of the things that makes change so difficult. It's one thing to identify the actions needed to create a better result. It's a whole other thing to consistently do them. Without structural and environmental support, follow-through becomes a constant exercise of willpower. Relying on willpower occasionally can work, but, as studies have shown, willpower has a fatigue factor, and, as we've all experienced, sometimes we have the willpower, and sometimes we don't. If you are going to achieve what you are capable of, you can't leave it up to willpower alone. Process control uses tools and events to create support structures that can augment and, in some cases, take the place of willpower. I can promise you that Michael Phelps, who holds more gold medals than any other Olympian, had days when he didn't feel like getting in the pool or working out in the gym, but he did. That's because he has structures in place that make it easier for him to get into the pool than not to. If you're going to be great, you need support structures just like he has. So, whether you've got a surplus of discipline on a particular day or not, you work your plan. There are two items I want to share with you that will form the foundation of your support. The first is the weekly plan. Weekly plans. The weekly plan is a powerful tool that translates the 12-week plan into daily and weekly action. The weekly part is the instrument that organizes and focuses your week. It becomes your game plan for each week. The weekly plan is not a glorified to-do list. Rather, it reflects the critical strategic activity that needs to take place that week in order to achieve your goals. Keep in mind that the weekly plan is a derivative of your 12-week plan. It is not something that you create each week based on what happens to be urgent at the time. On the contrary, the weekly plan is populated with the tactics from the 12-week plan that are due that particular week. This process ensures that the weekly plan contains only those actions that are strategic and critical in nature. Because the weekly plan is driven by the 12-week plan, which is connected to your long-term vision, you can be confident that the actions it contains are, by default, the most important actions of the week. If these tactics get done, you've had a great week. If not, you've lost a week. Having this level of clarity each week is not only powerful, it's life-changing. Our online system, Achieve, has a sample weekly plan. In this example, you can see that each individual goal is stated and has the affiliated tactics that are due this week. We strongly recommend that you print a copy and calendarize these critical activities. The printed weekly plan then becomes the document that you use to manage each day and ensure that these items get completed this week. Don't go it alone. The second element of process control is peer support. There was a fascinating article in Fast Company in May 2005 entitled Change or Die that presents studies conducted with patients who had severe medical conditions that required lifestyle changes in order to live. The sad fact was that after only 12 months, 90% of the patients had reverted back to their old lifestyles, virtually guaranteeing an impending death. Faced with the imminent threat of death, an overwhelming majority of people still failed to consistently make more productive choices. There was a group that had a much higher success rate, almost 7 times greater. These patients were involved in peer support sessions, and they had a success rate of nearly 80%. The groups not involved in peer support had a 10% success rate. These statistics remind me of what George Shin, the owner of the Charlotte Hornets basketball team, once said. There is no such thing as a self-made man. You will reach your goals only with the help of others. The groups involved in peer support met on a regular basis and discussed their progress, struggles, and challenges. By encouraging one another, they generally stayed on track. The lesson is that if you are implementing change, don't go it alone. Your chances of success are 7 times greater if you employ peer support. In working with thousands of clients over the past decade, we have experienced the same dynamic. When clients meet regularly with a group of peers, they perform better. When they don't, performance suffers. we recommend forming a group of 2 to 4 committed individuals to meet weekly. We call these meetings WAMs, which stands for Weekly Accountability Meeting. Assuming you've listened to the chapter on accountability, then you know this meeting is not about trying to hold each other accountable, but rather fostering individual accountability to consistently execute your plan. The WAM is a critical element of process control. It's a short meeting that is typically held on a Monday morning after everyone has had a chance to plan their week, and it lasts approximately 15 to 30 minutes. This is not a punitive session where we try to hold others accountable and dole out negative consequences or tongue-lashing for those who are faltering. The WAM is used to confront breakdowns, recognize progress, create focus, and encourage action. Most WAMs loosely follow a standard agenda as follows. Feel free to amend the agenda as you see fit, as long as you keep the focus on the execution. Weekly Accountability Meeting Agenda. 1. Individual report out. Each member states how they are tracking against their goals and how well they executed. Here are 4 areas to focus on. A. Your results for the 12-week year to date. B. Your weekly execution score. C. Intentions for the coming week. D. Feedback and suggestions from the group. 2. Successful techniques. As a group, discuss what's been working well and how to incorporate these techniques into one another's plan. 3. Encouragement. The format is pretty straightforward. Each individual gets a few minutes to report out to the group. You will want to comment on your results to date. Are you on track, ahead of where you should be at this point, or behind? Next, you'll tell the group your weekly execution score. You'll learn how to calculate this in Chapter 16. You will also announce your intentions for this week as they relate to your execution. Finally, the group will challenge you, congratulate you, and provide feedback and suggestions. After each member has reported out, you can have a short conversation on what members are doing that is working well and is transferable to others' plans and goals. The WAM ends with encouraging the group to have a productive week. Leslie Lilienberg leveraged her team's WAMs as the starting point for redesigning how the team spent their days. Here's how Leslie describes it. Overall, executing our 12-week plans made us more aware that every day counts. When we started, we assigned each staff member an area of interest, and they created an action plan to grow that area. Each 12-week year, we evaluated those assignments and realigned what needed to happen accordingly. Weekly accountability meetings were probably the biggest success of all of the areas for us. When staff began to evaluate all that they achieved on a weekly basis, they became more aware of where they spent their time. We decided to spend a day with each staff person, with our only focus being on how they spent their day. Doing this, we were able to determine where and how they were wasting time. This also helped us to make tough decisions to address some tasks that were more time-consuming than productive. The ROI on some of the tasks showed that they were not worth it and needed to be eliminated. If we didn't check in together as a team each week to review our progress, we probably never would have done this. Getting rid of annualized thinking helped us to know we had to hit the numbers quicker, and the WAMs helped us to do that. The leader is responsible for making sure the 12-week year stays on track and that the group does not venture away from the vision and the 12-week plan. My advice? Attend a WAM and stick to your plan, and the 12-week year will work. The weekly routine. The only way you will reach your 12-week goals is by taking action on your plan each day. The weekly plan and the WAM are 2 steps in a 3-step process called the weekly routine. These easy-to-follow steps will ensure that you execute each week and accomplish your goals. The weekly routine consists of 3 simple yet powerful steps. 1. Score your week. 2. Plan your week. 3. Participate in a WHAM. Step 1. Score your week. In Chapter 16, you will see how the 12-week year enables you to effectively measure your execution through a weekly scorecard. This measure,